Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornielsen, and you are listening to the web version of STEM Spots. With me today in the studio is Maya Kotlaya. She's an assistant professor of criminology here at Missouri State University, and Anna Cohen, who's a volunteer manager at a nonprofit, which we're going to discuss today because it's a very important time of the year coming up for that. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Thank you so much, David. It's truly a pleasure to be here, and we really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all about our mission.
So talk about your organization and the basics of it and the mission that's coming up right now.
Sure. So I work with Fight Colorectal Cancer, and to give you a little background, we're known as Fight CRC, and we are a nationwide organization that was founded in 2005. In 2010, we really stepped into our distinguished role as an advocacy organization in the colorectal cancer community. We underscore the importance of increased screening rates among the general population. Today, Fight CRC is the leading patient advocacy group in colorectal cancer, and our home office just happens to be here in Springfield, Missouri.
Would you tell us a little bit about what kind of a group an advocacy group is? I mean, what distinguishes it from the research groups you'd have in colorectal cancer and those sorts of things, the role that you guys really play?
Sure. So advocacy can be an unfamiliar term. To define it for you, it's an activity by an individual or group that aims to influence decisions within political, economic, and social systems. So we're really, truly trying to be catalysts for change and amplifying survivor stories.
You know, when you think about this, some of the things that I worry about when it comes to this, and I'm 60 years old, of course, this has been something I've thought about, is where is the main problem as you guys see it? Would the main problem be on the research end, or is it that things are well enough understood there, but it's primarily about patient interactions which will be the linchpin for improving the results with colorectal cancer? Is that where the critical step really is?
Honestly, it's both, because what we do in addition to advocacy is truly try to increase funding for research. Because without those research projects, we'll never really gain any ground as far as understanding why this colorectal cancer, including both colon and rectal cancers, is on the rise. But patient information is equally important, because I think this disease is under-talked about, under-discussed, because people are uncomfortable about it. They don't want to go to the doctor in general, but they especially don't want to have conversations with doctors about their butt. They just don't want to.
No, most people don't. It's very uncomfortable. Talk about the idea that there's something special coming up we're right on the cusp of sort of your focus time of the year.
Yeah, so March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. So this is our huge time of the year where we really try to do awareness opportunities throughout the year. Our advocates are on fire for this. Throughout the United States, they're hosting events. They're turning their cities blue. They're talking to their state representatives about what they can do to make differences in their state policies. It's just a really exciting time for us. So.
And colorectal cancer, how hard does it strike? I mean, it's right up there. People think of heart disease. They think cancer is the next thing. And so where is it at sort of in the hierarchy of affecting Americans?
Yeah, that's a great question. So colorectal cancer is actually the second leading cause of cancer deaths for men and women combined. So to give you a feel for this, this disease will impact 1 in 20 people. So in a classroom of 30, at least one or two in that classroom will face a diagnosis in their lifetime.
Right. And so the importance of screening would mean that this is curable. So curable, yes?
Yeah. So screening is huge. The statistics, you know, about how often this disease is hitting people are troubling, but colorectal cancer is largely preventable with screening, and this disease, when caught at its earliest stage, stage one, is 90% curable.
Right. So obviously, this is very important. Now, you guys have people that have personal stories associated with this. Talk a little bit about bringing in other people like Maya and their own personal stories.
Yeah, you know, Fight CRC is a small team. We have 25 staff. So we rely and empower our advocate community to truly make a difference. So Maya is a volunteer ambassador for Fight Colorectal Cancer, and she's going to talk a little bit about her connection to this disease.
Yeah, thanks, Anna, and thank you, David, for having us. It's my pleasure to be here today representing not only the Bear community, but also the Fight CRC family. So Anna gave us a bit of background information, really those important facts on colorectal cancer, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my personal story. So my father was diagnosed with rectal cancer at age 50, which is the recommended screening age. Had he paid attention to symptoms earlier and not hoped they would go away, he might have actually been diagnosed at an earlier stage. So my father has always been a typical tough European guy, and he was rather silent about a lot of his symptoms, and he didn't think that he could have cancer. So he truly believed that since no one in our family had ever had cancer, his symptoms had to be related to something else. He had bleeding in his stool a year earlier when my husband and I got married in June of 2017, but he convinced himself it wasn't anything. And then fast forward to October 2018, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 rectal cancer at the age of 50. So for my family, cancer was a complete shock, as it often is for any family. And it really rocked the foundation, and it forced us to develop this new normal. My father is still battling cancer with constant chemotherapy treatments, but I always wonder if he was screened a little bit earlier, would his journey be any easier? So when my father was diagnosed in 2018, I really had no idea about anything related to colorectal cancer. Heck, I didn't know anything about cancer in general. And since then, I've really embedded myself in anything that I can get my hands on that is cancer related. Nobody in my family or my friend group really talked about this disease, but now my father's diagnosis has completely rewired this urgency in my family to get the word out about screening. And during my search, I came across this organization, Fight CRC, and the incredible support they provide to families like mine. Fight CRC wants to put an end to disease, and in the core of their work lies the belief that it can and that it will happen. They were here to help me and my family, and so I wanted to take it a step further and get involved with this great community. So I became an ambassador last spring, and each year Fight CRC actually accepts 12 ambassadors from all across the country to be lead volunteers for that year. Ambassadors become deeply involved with the Fight CRC staff, and they participate as scholars for each of their main events. One of the events I was able to participate in this year was a Climb for a Cure. This is where 100 advocates climbed up a Colorado mountain to honor survivors, those battling cancer, and those who have lost their battle to this terrible disease. Even though I was around people I had never met before, it was incredible to connect with people who had similar stories of pain and perseverance. There is really nothing like waking up at 3 a.m. to hike up a mountain that gives you a chance to bond with others.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And so you talk about these two programs. Anna, can you weigh in a little bit on how those programs started and how people can get involved in them?
Yeah, so our ambassador training program started in 2015, and we now have over 100 volunteer ambassadors that actively participate with us. But what we do is each year we reopen the program to about 12 new faces in the colorectal cancer community. This opportunity is for anyone who has been impacted by colon or rectal cancer that has a deep passion for making a difference. So we'd like to open up this program to people locally as well. So applications will open April 1st and can be found at fightcrc.org.
Right. And Maya, you obviously must have met other people who had similar stories to yours. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I've been given the opportunity to hear so many incredible stories from my fellow ambassadors and from those that have been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. The individuals that I've met have ranged from various ages, 25 to 70, and these stories have really helped me to see many different sides to this disease. And that is what makes Fight CRC different from other organizations, really these personal survivor stories. Even in 1 year, my friends and I have been featured in publications, blogs, and website posts. Fight CRC is truly paying attention to our circumstances, what the core issues are, and are making plans to address them. It feels so good to be heard and to know that they represent us in corporate and healthcare settings where our voices might often get lost. And that is really why I'm so excited to attend Call on Congress in just a couple of weeks in Washington, D.C. to bring these stories to light to our congressional representatives.
That sounds interesting. Call on Congress, what's that exactly?
Yeah, so Call on Congress is an incredible event, and honestly, it's really the peak of what we do here at Fight CRC. 150 survivors and caregivers will attend a conference in Washington, D.C. for a couple of days to connect with one another and then to hear from leaders in the community. On the third day, they storm the Capitol Hill building to bring their stories and this important cause to light. They get to meet with their congressional representatives. So there is a lot of issues we're pushing in D.C., but two of the huge ones are removing barriers to screening and also pushing for continued funds for colorectal cancer research and prevention. Showing up in D.C. is in a sea of blue shirts to tell people of influence the realities of this cancer is incredibly influential. To make a national impact, you really have to put yourself and your cause out there again and again. Advocacy is all about repetition. That's why this annual event is so very important.
Well, you know, now let's talk a little bit about, let's call it, the down and dirty part of this whole thing, because this is what makes people so hesitant, I think, because it is such a personal issue. So let's talk a little bit about sort of what people should be on the lookout for and what they should be worried about, because when you talk to a lot of them, they're not really sure. So can you guys address the kinds of things people need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, definitely. So another important aspect, like you noted, is the symptoms that everyone should be aware of as it relates to colorectal cancer. I mentioned that my father had one symptom, but many of my fellow ambassadors had many, many more. So signs and symptoms can include ongoing change in bowel habits, blood in the stool, rectal bleeding, frequent gas pains, bloating, fullness, abdominal cramps, weight loss for no reason, or even fatigue. Sometimes diagnoses are connected to family history, so it's very important to talk to your family. Even without a family history, in the case of my father, being mindful and attentive to your body is very important. Colorectal cancer is affecting younger and younger individuals, and nobody is exempt. For you today, the biggest thing that we want you to take away as March Colorectal Cancer Month approaches is the importance of being screened. The American Cancer Society recommends screening now at the age of 45. If you are 45 or over, please do not wait. Get screened. Learn more about your screening options at fightcrc.org or just talk to your doctor. If you're not 45, maybe you're even an MSU student who's like, what the heck? I'm decades away. Why'd they even put you on air? Even for younger students, early age onset is a possibility. But talking to your parents about your history is also important. Even if you have a stubborn, tough guy for a father like I do, talk to him about screening. The occasional colonoscopy is way better than asking your father the next time that he's going in for chemo.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because in Missouri State, of course, once you're above a certain age, certainly you can have, I'm not sure if it's for everybody, but they have a free colonoscopy as a preventative treatment. And that's not a treatment, a preventative measure. But there's also other kinds of things people can do. So when you talk to people, Anna, and you try to get the feeling for the chief impediment, is it just fear? Is it shame? Is it that they're too tough? Is it hide your head in the sand? I mean, I know it could be all over the map, but what are the chief things people have to overcome to really start thinking about this being the same thing as, oh, not exactly getting your blood pressure done or drawing blood, but sort of on the same order, something you routinely do?
Sure. I think people are scared about the word colonoscopy. They're scared about having something stuck up their butt. It's uncomfortable. They think the prep is going to be unbearable, the fact that you have to do something before you even go into this appointment. But honestly, it's also the cost and fear of it not being insured or fear of finding polyps and then having to deal with a diagnosis when they already can't afford like their normal lifestyle. I think there's all sorts of things that come into effect, and people in America are busy and they're just trying to get by. And so these preventative measures are just hard for people to prioritize.
Well, you know, a lot of people hear on the news, or they'll hear on various kinds of ads that pop up on your screen about other kinds of screening methods. Do you guys encourage those things also, whether they're the take your own sample of poop and send it to a lab or whatever, those things that can also help?
We believe that any kind of screening is the best kind of screening. We want people to take action. So colonoscopy is still the most successful because it identifies and can remove the polyps right away. take-home options are good as well. The fit test and the Cologuard, we definitely want people to be aware of those. So definitely, again, any screening method is better than being not screened at all.
As a person who had his second colonoscopy about 6 months ago, I can attest to the wonder of amnesiacs. You must talk to people about those. Those are great things that they have available, which means that you won't remember anything that happened anyway, typically. And also that they have options for the PrEP, because, of course, for most people, the PrEP is the biggest issue. They really worry about this day-long, let's call it a deluge. So I would say I also encourage people to go to their doctor and talk about how it's not really as bad as it may sound. Talk about the resources that you have as sort of a takeaway message for people.
Sure. So we have resources available online that are downloadable to you at fightcrc.org. But we also publish a lot of mini magazines, awareness materials that will get the general word about colorectal cancer if you'd like to host an event or even have some pamphlets out at your work. But we also have really specific topical magazines that cover side effects, genetics, biomarkers. We also have a mini magazine specifically on screening that we're really pushing this March. We would love for people to get their hands on that. So we do a lot of big distributions throughout the year through our home office. And we'd love for you guys to
social media also?
Yes. So you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are super active on social media. And once you start looking up the hashtag #StrongArmSelfie and Relentless Champions, there's no end to the sea of blue with those.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, guys, for coming by and talking to us about this today. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, David.
And once again, this is Dave Kornielsen for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.